Developing people skills. A winsome person. I like that word, winsome. That when you introduce yourself to people, when you meet people, you have a winsome personality. In your own way. We're not cookie cutter. We're not trying to impersonate, but we're going to go through some basic things that we can do to actually improve in this area. This is an area that can be learned. I really believe that. I've seen it happen time and time again with people that you would not peg as a people person. Yet over time, they develop a real sense of humor, a real ability to reach people, and an ability to be a loving person. Let's begin with the first one here. Become an initiative person. This begins in prayer. When we're initiating in prayer, we're going to call this observant prayer. Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, and pray at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I have been imprisoned. You see the connection here. It isn't just that we're praying. It's that we're staying alert in prayer, looking for the ways that God is moving. We could get to the end of a week and not see any open doors. And if God were to speak to us personally, he would say, well, I opened up a door at 2 p.m. on Monday. You didn't see it. I opened up another door at 9 a.m. on Tuesday. You didn't see it. I opened up 15 doors this week. You weren't looking for them. And to sit there and to pray, could this be my opportunity, with anticipation? So too, we want to become students of people, observant of people. So, for example, you meet somebody you've never met before. Hey, I like your t-shirt. Something like that. Whoa, that tattoo is really sweet. Where'd you get that done? What's it mean to you? Does it have any meaning? I like the artwork. I like the, you know, you're observing the other person. Hey, what are you holding there? Oh, it's the new something or other. Well, I've never seen that before, you know. You don't need to be a techie or something. I've never seen that. What does it do? And for tech people, they look at that. For tattooed people, they love talking about their tattoos. T-shirt people, they're into that too. Somebody, you know, is listening to some music. What are you listening to? Oh, the new whatever, Bruno Mars, you know. Oh, is that the new album? Yeah, is it good? I've heard mixed reviews. You're at a party. You know, you're sitting next to somebody. What's my move? What do I say? Hey. Cheers. What are you drinking? Let's celebrate to that. What are you here for? Let's do a little exercise here. We're going to take 2 minutes. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to ask you to make 3 observations of each person. And one question or comment that could spark a conversation. You guys ready? Person number one. All right, let's hear some thoughts. To the young lady at this table right here. Yeah. Okay, yeah, she could be standing on an exercise machine. All right, that's good. She's wearing a tank. It's not like she's wearing a sweater. That's not that far removed. All right, what else? Hair color. Hey, you got your hair dyed. That's cool. Let's keep going. Tattoo. Hey, that's a cool tattoo. What does it mean? Yeah. Necklace. Who said necklace? One more. Bracelet. Good. Gauges. If you don't know what that is, those are the things you put in your ear. So are you going to keep, so what would be one question you could ask? Where'd you get your tattoo done? Does it have any meaning to you? Gauges, are you going to keep going with those? I've seen some of my friends got them real big. Or do you want to go farther or no? I don't know if I would say anything about her hair because I might be viewed as kind of creepy if I did that. You know, like your hair is really beautiful, you know. All right, what about person number two? What do you see? What? Book. What are you reading? Drink, good. I like that drink you got. What is that? I've never seen that before. What else? Hat. That's one hell of a hat. I think if I had a hat like that, I'd be confident. You know what I mean? So I think I could pull off that comment, like, hey, like, that's one hell of a hat. You'd probably be like, indeed. You know? All right, what about number three here? Glasses. Those are cool glasses. Where'd you get them? You might even have a joke there, like, does that help you, like, feel better about the world because, like, they're colored, like, tinted glasses? What else? Shh, shh. All right, back here. Yeah. There you go. You could just say, wow, those are bold. My wife does nails for girls, and so whenever they come over, I always say, those nails look fierce. I heard that one time from a person, so I was like, I guess I'll call it that. Number four. What about this guy? What do you see?
Your favorite, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix. Man, nobody played like him. Gone too soon. Yeah, good. What is it? He's got a tattoo. Tell me about your tattoo. Good.
Where's a good place to get a chain?
Yeah, I like your chain. Where'd you get that? Good.
His hat color.
If I was me, I would go up and say, dude, I could never pull off that hat. Where'd you get your watch? I mean, there's a lot of things we could observe here. Do you see the point? There's a lot going on. Being an observant person, this is the kind of person that is able to start a conversation, and you're picking up on things. You're learning things about others. You have to make eye contact. When you make eye contact with a person, this releases what's called oxytocin. It's a neurochemical that makes you feel good. They did a study on this back in the 90s where they had, you know, two people, a man and a woman, stare at each other in complete silence for 5 minutes, making eye contact unbroken. Out of all the people that were in the study, one of them got married. Some of them started it. I mean, I don't mean like that day, but I mean, later they got married. But think about this, like, if you're single and someone keeps making eye contact with you, what are you thinking? Like, they keep staring at you. What are you thinking? They want me. I never thought that before. Okay, so we're thinking romantically, right? That's not my point here. My point here is that when you make eye contact with a person, they're noticing that you're noticing them. They're not just some kind of a wallflower that they're being ignored. But when you're speaking to them and you're making eye contact, that makes you different from 90% of the people in the world today. Your posture, I'm talking about when you're first meeting a person, you don't want to have a slumped posture, as though most people, they have their phone and the typical posture that they have is like this, and then they're going over and talking to someone. Posture at a party or something should be what they call the Superman pose. Chest out, you know, confident. It communicates something. It's a presence that shows that you're not cowering when you're speaking to another person. You shake hands, if appropriate. Sometimes when you shake hands with someone, you pick up that they weren't into that. Or you pat them on the back and you pick up that they don't like physical touch. Okay. But typically you want to shake hands and you want to make eye contact with good posture. You don't want to give them the dead fish. You don't want to give them the limp wrists. You squeeze like you're squeezing a plum at the grocery store. That's what you're going for. You need to remember names. You laugh at this, but most of us don't have these skills. Remember names. You say, I'm not good at remembering names. You are now. You're a Christian. You are now. Here's how you can remember names. And boy, am I a hypocrite for putting this up here, but because I'm terrible with names. Awful. Almost as bad as I am with directions. Terrible with directions. And names. And a lot of other things. Anyways, this isn't about me. This is how you can remember names. You're meeting someone for the first time. Hi, what's your name? I'm James. Hi, I'm Brian. Hi, Brian. Nice to meet you. Some people say you need to use it three times. I think that's creepy. Hi, Brian. Nice to meet you. What do you do for a living, Brian? That's great, Brian. Use it once. Hey, Brian, nice to meet you. Then you spell it in your mind. Brian, B-R-I-A-N. Not brain, Brian. B-R-I-A-N, Brian. Three, anchor it or give an association. Here's one association. Two of my best friends are named Brian. So whenever I see that person, I'm going to think of my best friend. Or you think, boy, that guy was really smart. Brian, brain, Brian the brain. So when you see him, you don't call him Brian the Brain, but you say, hey, Brian, nice to see you. association. They call this a mental palace, where you're trying to make associations. So the next time you see them, you have an association that'll help you remember. So you use it, you spell it, and you anchor it. Finally, you need to give a sincere smile. I know this is like so not us in our church. You're like, this is so corny. Oh, firm handshake, posture, eye contact. Okay, maybe the reason that people think you're so cold is because you never do this stuff. And you need to change and be like a regular person that learns how to actually interact with people. And part of that is having a big million-dollar smile. When you see people, try it this week. Try it in your small groups, your friendships. Go in there and give a big smile with the eyes. When Irish eyes are smiling, you give a big, if I was to put my hand up, you know, in front of the mic like this, or to wear a mask, you know what I mean? Like you could tell if someone was really smiling versus this. Like the Joker from 1989, Batman. You want to give a sincere smile, and you wouldn't believe the reaction that people will give to you. They feel very loved by that. Not many people in our culture are doing this. And so we stand out head and shoulders above people. Second, we want to become an inquisitive person. We want to move small talk to big talk, from the superficial to the stimulating. We want to introduce novelty. You know what novelty is? I like the show House MD, but I will say one thing about that show. It's always the same show. It's every show. It's they think it's this, they think it's that, and then House comes in, figures that it's the same thing. There's no novelty to it. When there's no novelty, you become kind of bored. And so small talk, the reason that we hate it so much is because there's no novelty, and I can really recite these words in small talk without even thinking. So what do you do for a living? I work at a bank. Okay, you married? Yeah. How long have you been married? 5 years. You got any kids? And you're just spitting out. There's no novelty. No novelty. Now, do we have to start with small talk? Yes, you can't just jump into some stimulating conversation. But a question like this, what are you studying for school? That's a good opening question, but I hope it doesn't get followed up with, how long have you been in your degree? I hope it's not followed up with, where do you go to school? I hope it's not followed up with something boring because people just completely check out. What are you studying for school? Social work. Social work. Wow. You must have a real heart for people. I know the people in my life that are into social work are some of the most loving people that really care. What made you want to pick that field? Is there a certain impact that you want to have in that degree that you picked? What are you hoping to accomplish? Is this something that you want to stay in long term? Or do you see yourself moving on to something else long term? No one's ever asked me that before. Where do you work? What do you do? Well, I work in sales. Really, don't get into what they sell. They don't care, okay? They don't want to talk about the different alloys that they sell or the different brake pads that they sell. Where do you work? Blank. Okay, so what's it like? What are the employees like there that you work with? What's the boss like? Is that a place that you want to stay, or are you looking to get a different job? Is this a job that you want to retire at? How many people are asking? Probably their own spouse has never asked them these questions. And here you are introducing novelty. Three, are you married? Yes, you are. What year are you in marriage? Oh, we're on our fifth anniversary. Fifth year, huh? So what have you learned about marriage that you could, you know, teach me about? After 5 years of marriage, what have you learned about yourself from marriage? What have you learned about your spouse from marriage? Novelty. Novelty. Four, do you have any kids? Yeah, we got two. Boy or girl? You know, boys or girls? Boys, girls, whatever. Okay, so how old are they? Three and six. Oh, so you're in the thick of it. So what's been the best part of parenting in that age range? What's been the most difficult part of parenting? You see how you're going from small talk to big talk? That person will remember you because you introduced novelty. Fifth, what do you do for fun? I actually think that's just a good question because you're off to the races. You know, they say Magic the Gathering, and you're like, ooh, sorry, never mind. Do you have any kids? Let's back up. You married? How was your week? Not that good. What was the best part of your week? I remember being up at our high school camp years ago, and I'm getting older and I'm feeling more insecure around high school students, just public confession. And so I was there and I was like talking to this group of 14-year-old girls, and I was really trying to share and talk and engage with them, and I was just like getting nowhere. They just looked at me like... And so I stepped away from a little bit, and I'm like, God, like, give me a good question. So I went up again and tried again, and I was like, what was the hardest that you guys laughed this week? And they immediately lit right up like a firecracker. Oh, it was when, blah, 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 and they just started going off. I think they started to speak in tongues at a certain point. It was, how was your week? Good. What was the hardest you laughed this week? What was the most difficult part about the week? Do you have any vacation plans? I personally just love this question. I love this question because people are always looking forward to something. What is it? Where do you travel? What do you do there? What's that like? Would I be interested in going there? Stuff like that. Finally, become an interesting person. An interesting person. Before I go any further, I like in the words of Dale Carnegie 100 years ago, he said, the most interesting person is the most interested person. Give out sincere appreciation, gratitude, and compliments. Thinking to yourself, in what ways is this person genuinely better than me? That person is X, Y, and Z. They're, wow, they can really cook. Wow, they're really good with people. Wow, they're, you know, you start to really think, and you start to dish this out to people. And again, this is sincere. This is genuine. It's not a lie. It's how are they actually unique as an individual? Made in the image of God. What do I think about that person? What qualities do they have that I really admire? These are all three different ways of asking the same question. We're trying to hone in on something in this person's life that I really love. And I'm going to pour out the appreciation, the gratitude, and the compliments, which are genuine. We don't have much competition on this in our world today. People are not looking around trying to find great qualities in other people. Instead, what we find is the criticism. We want to express value and importance. I have a friend whose father does this consistently whenever I see him. He's in sales. And God, he must be a good salesman. Because whenever you walk into a room, he comes right up to you. And when he speaks to you, you are the most important person in the room. So you could do this when you're introducing people. So let's say you're introducing your friend to your other friends. You say, hey, you know, this guy here, I actually heard my buddy's dad use this, so I'll just repeat it because he's good at this. So he said, hey, James. I said, yeah. He said, this guy here, put his arm around him. He said, this guy here was the guy who helped my son get a job. Without this guy here, he wouldn't be here today. You could just see that guy's spine straighten a little bit, lighten up. How would you like to be introduced that way? How about this? You know, hey, this is my friend Mary. You know, she used to captivate us with her storytelling in high school. Did you know that you won Teacher of the Year? You know, how's that compared to, hey, Mary, this is John. John, meet Mary. You're expressing value in what this person is. And now they're coming to meet your friends, and they feel like people already know something about them. Benjamin Disraeli and William Gladstone were fierce political rivals in the British Parliament. And they both had different giftings, different gift sets, and a different wheelhouse. And at one point, Winston Churchill's mother met them at a dinner party. And she said this. She said, when I left the dining room after sitting next to Mr. Gladstone, I thought that he was the cleverest man in England. But after sitting next to Mr. Disraeli, I thought I was the cleverest woman in England. How do you like to have that quality that when you're around people, they feel valuable, important, known, understood, and all of a sudden you're speaking about them with other people, your Christian friends, in a way that now all of a sudden they have a very good reputation and feel like they're being plugged in with good friends. Boy, that'd be a great quality. You need to express energy, animation, and enthusiasm. The best TED Talk speakers that you see talk with their hands. The old advice used to be in public speaking that you keep your hands at your sides or at your sides. Remember, George Bush, 41, was always getting made fun of by Dana Carvey on SNL because he's always talking with his hands. Now they've discovered talking with your hands is the way you're supposed to talk. You can see on TED Talks, that's all they do. They're constantly talking with their hands and trying to explain different concepts to people as they're explaining the different concepts. They're doing lots of this kind of stuff. I mean, anything. People in our world are apathetic. The alpha privative. Not pathos. No passion. And they meet somebody with passion in their life and enthusiasm. For some of us, you feel like I would just be too uncomfortable to do that. But I'm going to try. Here's my advice for you. If you feel like you're showing like a lot of passion and you're going like way overboard, I mean like you're feeling like I am being really ridiculous with how much passion I'm showing, you aren't even halfway there. You need to push even further. Now, some of us are a little bit out on the other extreme. You need to pull it back a little bit. A lot of people need to show some enthusiasm, some excitement. It makes you stand out because it shows that you have something good in your life. Get a good hobby. For example, I had a buddy, I got him onto this. He would tell people, you know, he'd be studying at class and he would say, you know, do you want to study together? And he'd say, all right, I know how to make the perfect cup of coffee. So I got, you know, the grounds, I can, you know, grind it up. I got the right measurements. It's very scientific. I got the Chemex, I don't know coffee, the Chemex thing, and I got the water at the right temperature. I can make the perfect pour over. You got to come over to my house and check it out. Or saying something like this, you know, I don't like to brag, but I'm kind of a big deal when it comes to cooking on a grill. Ha ha. We should do a cookout at my place. I mean, develop a hobby, cooking, coffee making, something that you're into that you could share and serve another person. You wouldn't believe how this comes in handy when you're trying to serve people. What's the next step? What do we do? Well, all of a sudden you have a skill, a hobby that you can include people in. Asking people for help. You wouldn't think this is the case. You think, well, as Christians, we're supposed to serve other people. We're supposed to love other people. True, true, true. But is it really the case that you won't ask for help because you're just so Christian that you wouldn't want to ask your neighbor or your friend for help? Is that it? You're just so Christ-like, you wouldn't want to ask for help, you know, or is it, what's the word? Pride. That's the word. Pride, being prideful, that's what it is. I don't want to ask for help. Actually, when you ask for help, this builds relationships. Hey, can I borrow your ladder? Hey, can I borrow, you know, your gas can? I can't get to I swear I'll bring it back, you know. Can I borrow this? Can you help me with that? Hey, I just need a hand carrying this in. All of a sudden, the person feels like good about themselves because they helped you and it was a genuine need. And now all of a sudden you can say, hey, let me have you over for dinner. I got to pay you back. You know, let me get you a cup of coffee. Let me just start a conversation right here because you, now I'm indebted to you. And this is a way that we can actually build a good relationship. And being real with people. I like it when Christians are honest. We can spare the gory details. We don't need to go into incredible depth here, but showing that you're a real screwed up person just like everybody else. Very powerful.